Well, once again, thank you so much, everybody, for being here. And this is my favorite thing to do, is preach the word. So, if you are taking notes, the title is God, the Author of Encouragement. And we'll start with Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good work makes him glad. Indeed, encouragement is fuel for the soul. See, God is the author of encouragement. Well, how do we know this? Well, we have his word, and his word is the source and the supplier. How many times we try to go it alone in life without accessing the comfort and the guidance of God's gracious, acceptable, abundant, authoritative, trustworthy, dependable, soul-fueling word. Each one of us here this morning needs to have daily time in the Word of God, and we also need to do life with fellow Christians and each other in our local church. But without daily time in the Word, without fellowship from other believers, we will run on our own self-sufficiency rather than on the fuel of encouragement God has so richly provided. So let's take a moment this morning and look at several ways that God provides the fuel. And by the way, it won't cost you over $4 an hour for the fuel, okay? Just want to let you know. And it's probably higher up in Maryland. It's higher out by Teresa. And I've seen $3.99 and $4.25. So take your pick. But it won't cost you that at all today. This is free. So God provides the fuel. That means he provides the power, the energy, the fossil fuels of encouragement. Fossil fuels. Every time I mow the lawn over at Lori's and I put the gas in the fuel, I'm saying to myself, I love the smell of fossil fuels. Okay. But let me tell you something. And we did talk about this one time before. Fossil means many, many things. But one of its meanings is remnant. Remnant, R-E-M-N-A-N-T. Well, what does the Bible say about remnant, or say about the remnant of the faithful that are the remnant of God? The remnant are those select few of who remain faithful to God. They may undergo hardship, persecution, but they weather the storms of the enemy and make it through with the help of the Lord. No matter what's thrown at them, the faithful remain, survives, and it's victorious. And with the comfort and support of their Lord, they are the ultimate survivors. See, the most blessed remnant is that of the true church, the body of Christ, chosen out of millions who have lived and died over the centuries. Jesus made it clear that this remnant would be small when compared to the number throughout history. Many will find the way to eternal destruction, but few will find the way to eternal life. Matthew 7:13-14. We who believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior can with great peace rest in the fact that we belong to the remnant. And I believe New Covenant is a remnant. I really do. God has always had his hand on us. So how does God provide that fuel? First, we have the comfort of his presence. That's the first thing. We have the comfort of his presence. We can't sustain the awareness of God's nearness, his closeness, or his companionship without encouragement of Scripture. God's word is where we are fueled with the encouragement he has provided. So let's look at Psalm 139:7. It says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." He's in front of you. He's behind you. He's got your back. He says, "Marie, I got this. You don't have to do this alone." And then Joshua 1:9 says, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence?" You can't get away from his spirit. You can't get away from his presence. And then Zephaniah 3:17 says, "The Lord God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love, and he will exalt you over you." He exalts over us with loud singing. And Deuteronomy 31:8, It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. And Matthew 28:20 says, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So not only do we have the comfort of his presence, we also have his protection, we have his strength and assurance in trial. In the world, you will have tribulation. Jesus said it. John 16:33, you will have trials, you will have tribulations. But he said, do not fear, be of good cheer. That was one of my father's favorite scriptures. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Dad loved that word, be of good cheer. For I have overcome the world. So if you are in the world, you're going to have trials in your life. Count on it. Troubles, difficulties, struggles will come your way. And I know that sounds kind of negative, but the truth remains, God's word is where we are fueled with the encouragement of his protection, his strength, and assurance in those troubling times. Let's look at some more of that fueling. Look at 2 Timothy 1:7. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control, or of a sound mind. We just heard that not too long ago. Psalm 28:7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. And then Psalm 121:1-8 says, lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will never, not even slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. Proverbs 30:5 says, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. And then 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So let's look at that a little bit. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So everything you can see, every hardship, every season, every earthly struggle is temporary. Everything God is doing in you, faith, endurance, character, glory, is eternal. So what's the big idea here that Paul is teaching us? So Paul is teaching us here how to endure without collapsing. Focus on what God is renewing in you, not what life is taking from you. For God is renewing you, not what life is taking from you. Okay? Focus on him. He's renewing you. Affliction doesn't get the last word. Affliction doesn't get the last word. Glory does. Glory does. And that glory is already being formed in you. And why does this matter for ministry and for encouragement? Well, this passage gives you a powerful framework to help people. In other words, reframe suffering as purposeful, not pointless. We all go through suffering. We all go through trials. But reframe it as purposeful, not pointless. And then see renewal even when circumstances don't change. Lord, I know you're doing something in me, but it's really been a hard time. But he's doing something inside of you. And then anchor hope in eternity, not in temporary relief. Anchor her hope in eternity and not in temporary relief. And then strengthen faith. Strengthen your faith by shifting focus from the visible to the invisible. And then encourage perseverance without minimizing pain. Encourage perseverance without minimizing pain. It's the kind of scripture that just covenant. It reorients. It's the kind of scripture that doesn't just comfort, but it reorients us. So besides his protection and his strength and his assurance in the trial, we have in his love. We have his love. Jonathan Edwards, he was an American revivalist preacher, philosopher, congregationalist, theologian. That's one title, isn't it? American revivalist preacher, philosopher, and congregationalist, theologian. He said, there's such love and such grace in the heart of God that if you understood, and this is scripture, the length, the breadth, and the height, and the depth of it, you would never be discouraged. God's word is where we are fueled with the encouragement of his love for his people. And John 3:16, everybody knows that. For God, what? So loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Romans 5:8 says, but God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. Psalm 103:8 says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And then Romans 8:35, 37-39 says, who shall separate? This is one of my dad's favorite scriptures. And he actually wrote me a little note with an arm one day. And he sent it to me. Romans 8:35, 37-39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in these things we are more than conquerors. You are more than conquerors. That's how you have to think of yourself. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The enemy can take everything away from you, but nothing is going to separate you from God and his love. Amen. You know, and I mean, if you lost everything, and you have to ask yourself this question, and I did too. If you lost everything, would the fact that you are God's child and you were saved, would that be enough? Yes. Amen? Yes. Think about that. We also have, not besides his protection and strength and insurance, we have his provision. If we are in Christ, we have no lack. If God calls us to something, he will provide us with everything we need to accomplish it. God's word is where we are fueled with the encouragement of his provision. Philippians 4:13 says, what? You know this. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply what? Every need of yours according to his riches in glory, Christ Jesus. And then 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. And in Matthew 6:31-33 says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, he who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Amen. And then we also have the preemptive assurance of what to expect before he returns. In his benevolence, God has given us some preemptive assurance of what we can expect as his followers. He did this so that when time seems strange to us, we're not taken by surprise. This whole week has been, it's been hell week is what it has been. I don't know how ever say it. Sunday was beautiful, Easter services, Sunday night. I was telling Teresa, I got some type of a stomach, well, they call it stomach flu, but I just got, all of a sudden, I'm like, I'm sick, right? And then all week long, I'm battling this and battling that. And then Friday, I go out to Teresa's, 30 feet from her driveway. My truck breaks down. Well, I slid into her driveway, so I was safe. AAA, 80-mile tow. And then I'm working on Lori's yard this weekend, and I had to take all my stuff out of my truck, which is at Lyons, the auto prepare, and put it into my SUV. My SUV has, well, I had a lawnmower in there, one of those grass sweepers, and everything else that you can think of. And it was unbelievable. And then I'm thinking, how am I going to do this? You know, stomach flu all week. I'm not feeling good. Well, you know, Saturday morning I got up. I got into the Word. And I said, Lord, I promised Lori I would help her. And 9 hours later yesterday, I said goodnight to her last night at 8:58. That was on my watch. And I started at 12. And God got me through it. And then Marcus called. He wants his groceries today, so I'll be bringing him his groceries this afternoon sometime. You know. And anyway, so, and then there was this lady, when I was at Lyons loading my car up, up come this lady. She was having struggles walking, and she says, is Lyons open? I said, no, ma'am, they're not open on the weekends. And she said, well, I need a tow. I said, well, what? I said, do you have a phone? She goes, no, my phone is dead. I said, okay, I got a phone. So we went down to the tire place next door, and we asked the guy, and then we couldn't get a hold of the tow guy. And she goes, well, I really don't need a tow. I need a jump. I said, well, do you have cables? No. I said, okay, I have cables. So I said, is your car right here? She goes, no, my car is down at Taco Bell. Okay, so I go down to Taco Bell, and she, and I said, well, come on, jump in the car. She said, no, I'll walk. Well, she was walking very slow. Anyway, she was very sweet. And I said, well, what's going on with your battery? Well, I think it's a new battery. You think it's a new battery? We opened up. It didn't look like a new battery. She said, she got it from Jiffy Lube. I said, you need to go back to Jiffy Lube, girl, and tell those guys to give you a new battery. That wasn't a new battery. So anyway, I got her jumped. I got her started. I said, do not turn off that engine. Do not pass go. Just go home, I said. And I gave her my jump cables. And I handed her the cables. They're brand new. And she goes, you giving these to me? I said, yes, ma'am, you need them. And I said, and you need to call AAA and sign up. I said, you're a woman driving alone. You don't want to be caught like you were today. I said, you know, take care of yourself. Make yourself safe. And she says, you're so sweet. And then she's fumbling around trying to give me money. And I said, no. She said, is there anything I can do for you? Just give me a hug. So we hugged, and she went on her way. So, I mean, and of course, not that I had time on my schedule to do that, but you can't leave people stranded. We're Christians. We need to take care of people that, you know, and I think God put me there for a reason at that time when she came up there. So that's what goes on. And like I said, it's amazing when you fuel yourself with God's word, what he can give you and the strength that he can give you. Because I said, I don't know how I'm going to stand up and do this tomorrow, but Lord, you're going to get me through it. And here we are. Amen? So anyway, where were we? That, by the way, that wasn't in my notes. That's free. Okay? Just wanted to let you know. So anyway, like I said, we also have that preemptive assurance of what to expect before he returns. And, you know, one of the things that 1 Peter 4:12 said, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. And boy, it was a strange week. And 2 Timothy 3:1-5 says, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Sounds like our world today, doesn't it? 2 Peter 3, 3 through 4 says, knowing this first of all, that scoffers, which are ridiculers, will come in the last days with ridiculing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? And then Matthew 24, 10, 14 says, and then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. See, here's the deal. Now, you know, when I preach, you're going to get the word, and lots of it, and you got lots of it. This is in your Bible. This is either in your Bible, and you're turning pages, or it's in your phone, or in your iPad, or in whatever instrument you have. We have so much exposure to the word by so many accessible things. It's incredible. But I really believe that God is calling us in this season to lay hold of his word, to lay hold of, meaning to wield or to use, to grasp, to seize, to occupy, which means to inhabit. The word says in Psalm 22:3 that God inhabits what? The praises of his people. We need to inhabit and live in his word. Matthew 4, 1 through 4 says this. This is where Jesus was tested in the wilderness. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. And Jesus answered, what's the first thing he said? It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And in Colossians 3, 15 through 17 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whatever in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. See, it's really absurd that in our day that the Bible can be so accessible, but yet so marginalized. Technology has brought God's word close to us. It's on our phones, it's on our tablets, it's on our computers, our iPods. We have immediate access. There are people in other countries that if they could just get a page or one scripture of the Bible, they're just in awe. But we have everything. I mean, I don't know how many versions of the Bible there are out there. You know, I mean, it's just so many. And I take advantage of that when I'm studying the word and preparing a message. But it's like, you know, it's just amazing how much we have, you know, available to us. But the same technology that we have, and I want you to hear this, and, you know, and don't write, if you want to write me hate mail, you can, I'll give you my address. But the same technology also threatens to distract us. Amen? It distracts us and drowns out God's word. We have become clutter-obsessed with noise and comfortable with clutter. TV, so many sources are bringing input into our lives. TV, radio, online news, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, whatever. More than ever, we really need to make time to meditate, to dwell in God's word. I love opening my Bible. I love turning the pages. And it's just amazing. And Teresa, when we talk, she always says, Ray, got a Bible question for you. And she always stumps me. And I'm going, okay, I'm going to have to study that a little more. I'll give her an answer, but I said, okay, Teresa, I need to study that a little more because I want to give her the truth, and I want to give her the word behind it. What is that? Where is that scripture coming from? Where are you entering, and where are you going out? And just that she understands. She goes, I got a Bible, and she always stumps me. It's amazing. So be careful when she asks you a question. But anyway, it's just amazing that we have all of this at our disposal. So we are all going to face challenges, and we're all facing challenges. I don't know anybody right now that's not facing a challenge. And we might already be in the midst of one, and what we must do is let the word of Christ dwell in us richly and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 4 says, the word is living and active, and this word of God has dynamic power. I don't know that anybody really realizes that if you have Jesus living in you, if you have accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you are the most powerful person on earth. Do you understand that? Do you understand the power you have within you? Now, yes, we live in an imperfect world. There's sickness, there's death, there's trials, there's tribulations, but you have the power of the name of Jesus inside of you. And all you need to do is call it forth. It's like, I need more power. No, you don't. You already have all the power in you. I need more strength. No, you don't. You have all the strength in you right now. If you have Jesus living in you, you have everything inside of you right now. You just need to call it forth. Does that make sense? Amen. The Word of God reveals all our difficulties, all our challenges, and all of our complexities, and gives us wisdom. His wisdom and God himself leads us to follow after his wisdom and overcome those issues. Therefore, our job is to let the Word of God dwell in us richly. And that means we receive the Word. We're not just to get it in our heads. We need to get it in our hearts. Got to go 18 inches down from here to here. And we're not just to get it in our heads, but we need to get it in our hearts and in our spirits. And then we need to hold on to it. Lord, your word says, and that's what I'm going to hold on to. Just know loving the word is the same as loving God. He wrote it. He wrote the book. It's not about someone. It is someone. It's living, it's breathing, and it's alive. Amen? Things may not get better right away in times of difficulties, but what a great privilege it is for us to be those who are filled with the Word of God. God will be so pleased with you because you are the one whom the Word of God rules, even your thoughts, your wishes, and your deep feelings. If we are struggling, see, that was what was missing in my life. I couldn't put my finger on it. All this year, going to Mass, going to church, what I didn't realize is that I could have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It was personal. That was the part that I was missing. And he lives in you. You're the tabernacle, that tabernacle in church that we used to genuflect before when you walked into the church and reverently, and God was up on that altar. And there was so much respect and reverence. But it was like he was there and I was here. But I didn't realize that it was personal and he's actually here. I'm the temple. I'm the tabernacle. And he's in me and all that power. So we just need to call it forth. Amen? Amen. So if we are struggling, let's fight and battle to allow the word of God to dwell in us richly. When the word tells us in us abundantly, worries and worldly thoughts lose their place to stand with us. They get pushed out. See, all that's, if you're full of the word of God, you'll be leaking the word of God. And that doesn't, and then you don't have any room for anything else to get in there. You understand what I'm saying? If you have a full cup, you can't get anything else into it. It'll overflow, right? If you are full of the word of God, you can't, and nothing else will be in or let in to your spirit at the time. So the more difficult the times become, and they are coming, the more we may love God's word. In this season, in these times, we need to read and deeply meditate on the word. See, I pray that we may eat, drink, and breathe God's precious word of life, as it is the source of all blessings. It gives us wisdom and strength. It will transform our character. It will grant us power in all circumstances. So let's get to the point where our hearts truly say, as the psalmist does, your promises have been thoroughly tested, and your servant loves them. That's Psalm 119, 140. Your promises have been thoroughly tested, and your servant loves them. So rather than operating on our own sufficiency and running out of gas, that'd be me sometimes, let's fill up daily, sometimes several times a day, with the reading of the inerrant, infallible, and sufficient word of God. Amen? That makes sense? Just remember, we have a rock of truth. We have a standard. We have fuel for our souls, which is free. And for us, that infallible and foolproof standard lies in "It is written." What you need to know now is a conclusion that gathers all the threads here. And here's what I want to say to you today. We are not a people left to fend for ourselves. We are the remnant of God. Amen? And we're kept strengthened by Him, protected and fueled by His unfailing word. In a world that's loud, that's distracted and weary, we have a rock that does not move. We have a truth that does not bend. And we have a source of encouragement that never runs dry. So let's be a people who refuse to run on empty. Let us be a people to fill our hearts daily, sometimes hourly, with the living, breathing, soul-fueling word of God. Let us be those who say with conviction, your promises have been thoroughly tested, and your servant loves them. And, you know, a lot of times people say, well, I don't have a lot of time to pray and to read the word. Well, sometimes, and you just gotta pay the cost. And sometimes you got to get up early. Sometimes you may have to get up in the middle of the night. And you need to read the word. And you need to pray. And that's how it is. That's the sacrifice that you have to make. And the Lord said, if you follow me, you have to think of the cost. And that's a cost. But you've got to get into the word. So, you know, put a Bible in your bathroom. You're going to get it there. You're going to get there somewhere. And someday, you know. I have one in my bathroom. Sue Brown. I learned that from her. She was just amazing. But she said, ladies, put a Bible in your bathroom, because you know sooner or later you're going to get there. And if you want to get away from your kids, you go to the bathroom so you can have some privacy. Amen? Amen. So, like I said, when we need to rise as the faithful remnant and strengthen, we need to be encouraged and anchored in the word of the living God. You know, we're not in ordinary days. Scripture's told us what to expect. We are watching it unfold before our very eyes. I mean, just look at the news. But God has not left this remnant without fuel. He's not left us without power. He's not left His church without a word. In this season, God is calling us not to visit His word, but to inhabit it, to seize it, to wield it, to let it dwell richly in us until it shapes our thoughts and our order our steps, and it strengthens our hearts. The world may grow darker, but the remnant grows stronger. The noise may increase, but the word speaks louder. The trials may intensify, but the promises of God stand unshaken. So let's be found ready. Let's be found rooted. I dealt with roots yesterday. I could not believe it. I was having a spiritual moment, Laura, yesterday with my chainsaw and trying to get those roots up. But I had to shovel it, cut it. I was pulling it. Roots are strong. And that tree, I don't care how many roots I cut, that tree will never die. It's got so many roots on both sides of it. It's a maple, by the way. And it's amazing. But if your roots are strong, you're never going to be overcome. And like I said, those trials may intensify, but the promises of God stand unshaken. So like I said, let us be found ready. The remnant will endure. Doesn't matter how big your church is or how small your church is. The remnant will overcome, and the remnant will shine. God has not called us to walk this life alone or empty. He has given us his presence, his protection, his love, his provision, and his promises. He has given us his word, our daily bread, our steady anchor, and unfailing encouragement. So when your heart feels heavy, if your heart is broken, if you feel betrayed, open the word. When your strength feels small, open the word. When the world feels loud, open the word. When you don't know what to do next, open the word. Because every time you do, you will find him there, faithful, present, ready to fill your soul again. And the more you get into the word, you'll have it in your head already. And you're going to go, oh, Lord, you said in your word, because you remember it, because you inhabit it, because you seized it and you wielded it. Amen. So may we be a people who love the word, live in the word, and lean on the word until the word shapes every part of who we are. So when your heart feels heavy, just remember to open the word. Amen. Amen. In this season, God is calling us, like I said, not to visit his word, but to inhabit it. Amen. Yes. So let us be found, like I said, ready to go. Be found rooted. Let us be found filled, overflowing with the inerrant, infallible, inspired word of God. Let's bow our heads and let us pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come before you with grateful hearts. Lord, you are the author of encouragement. You are the giver of strength. You are the keeper of the remnant and the one who sustains us by your living word. Today, I lift up every person in this room and those watching online. You know their battles, you know their burdens, you know their questions, their fears, and their silent prayers, and you are near to each one. Father, I ask that you would breathe fresh strength into your people. Let your word dwell richly in them, not as a visitor, but as a permanent resident. Let it fill their minds and steady their hearts and fuel their spirits for the days ahead. Where there is weariness, bring renewal. Where there is confusion, bring clarity. Where there is fear, bring courage. Where there is sorrow, bring comfort. Where there is weakness, bring your mighty power. And Lord, make us a people who love your word, who live in your word, who stand on your word, and who speak your word with boldness and joy. Strengthen your remnant, O God. Anchor us in truth. Guard us from deception and fill us with your Holy Spirit. And let our lives shine with the hope of Christ in a world that desperately needs you. And Father, as I stand here today for the first time as an ordained minister of the gospel, I ask for your grace to shepherd well, to speak truth with love, to serve with humility, and to walk in step with your Spirit. Let my life, my words, and my ministry bring glory to your name alone. Now the Lord bless you, people. Keep you, strengthen you, and Father, encourage them and let the peace of Christ rule in their hearts today and in every day to come. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his word dwell richly in your hearts. May his strength uphold you in every trial. May his love surround you, sustain you, and send you out with courage. And may the God of all encouragement fill you with hope through power of the Holy Spirit as you walk in his truth this week. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, Amen.